now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to the show today. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we open the Word of God and study it together. You know, just recently, my wife and I, we had QVC going on our TV. And the salesperson that they had on was a person from Lifeway, a Christian bookseller. And they were selling this new Bible. And so he was demonstrating it. He was showing the beautiful cover and also the inside, which had all kinds of gorgeous maps and pictures of the Holy Land. But then the host, who I believe is a Christian, suddenly asked this Christian man from Lifeway the age-old question. Why does God allow suffering in our world? And my wife and I, we immediately tuned in a bit more because this home shopping channel suddenly became the backdrop for a deep theological discussion. And the man gave what we thought was a very good answer about God being there with us in our trials, the gift of encouragement that he has given us in his word, that kind of thing. But you know, that is the age-old question, isn't it? Where is God when things get tough? Or even when we lose it all? And today I want to look at the life of a man who really did, by every possible means, he lost it all. And this story, it comes from what is likely the oldest book of the Bible, and that is the book of Job. Though the events recorded in this book take place after the book of Genesis, it was actually written long before. And you know, what that says to us is that wrestling with the problem of evil and death in the world is not something new. It's a struggle as old as the Bible itself. And it's a question that Job wrestles with personally, after he loses everything. Imagine this. It says in Job chapter 1, starting at verse 13, "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" How would you respond to news like that? Well, listen to Job's response. It says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell on the ground, and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Now, the question I want us to grapple with today is, how can we get to the point where we trust in God like that? where we can proclaim the goodness of God even in times when the night seems darkest. You know, one of the historical events that fascinates me so much is the story of the sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic, as you may know, was built in Belfast, North Ireland. And at the time it sank, an American preacher was in the city of Belfast holding services in the church where many of the men who worked on the Titanic had attended, on building it, I should say. And they had termed the Titanic the ship that could not sink, or the unsinkable ship. And when news came that it had sunk with at least 16 members of this church, a service at the church was called, and all the dignitaries of the area were there, the mayor, the noblemen, the lords, the bishops, ministers of every denomination. And in the audience were many newspaper men and the newly made widows and crying orphans. And this American preacher, he stood to preach and announced his sermon as being titled "The Unsinkable Ship." But he wasn't referring to the Titanic. No, his text was the story of Jesus in the little boat that was about to be destroyed by that storm as Jesus slept in the bow of the ship and the fretting disciples over their impending doom. Until Jesus reminded them that as long as he was on board, they should not fear that they could sink. And what did he do? He rose. He quieted the storm and also their hearts. How different was that humble little boat? It was more secure than the Titanic in all its human greatness because Christ was on board. You know, in my preparation, God brought a verse to my mind that I wonder if I kind of have to rethink. And that is Romans 8:28. Which says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, this verse is a great source of comfort to any person who is going through any kind of trial or tribulation, because it reminds us that God is in control, and that whatever suffering we're going through, we don't have to be afraid. Because he is right there with us in the boat. And he will go with us and give us the victory. The question is, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that in any situation, God can bring something good? It's hard to think that way, but it's true. There is no situation you are going through right now that God cannot use to bring his glory. But we have to trust him. We have to believe that he is going to remain faithful to us. You know, one of the champions of the Salvation Army was a man by the name of Samuel Brangle, who wrote some of the most helpful books on holiness ever written. Some of you may know them: Heart Talks on Holiness, The Way of Holiness, When the Holy Ghost Has Come. I mean, amazing books. But what's really incredible about these books is the story behind them. Brangle was a brilliant young preacher whom God had led into the Salvation Army. He became the Salvation Army's great spokesman for the message of personal holiness. But one night, a drunken man continually interrupted a service that Brangle was leading. And finally, Brangle, he had to put the man outside the service. And after the meeting was over, Brangle was the last one to leave, and so he turned the lights off and he stepped out into the street. And the drunken man was right there waiting for him. He struck one side of Brangle's head with a paving stone and smashed the other side against the building. And Samuel Brangle was in the hospital for an extended period, really kind of hovering between life and death. And when he finally began to recover, it was a long time before he could resume his former activities. And so the editor of the Salvation Army's magazine asked him to write some articles while he was there in the hospital recuperating. And those little books, which have profoundly shaped many Christian leaders, were the fruit of that accident. Now, that little paving stone was kind of a little red brick. And the first book that he published, Helps to Holiness, came out and was bound in a red cover. And so Brangle, he came to this conclusion. He said, you know, without any little red brick, there would have been no little red book. You know, we have to believe that God is running our lives. The devil can create all kind of minor complications, but God is in control, whether you're in a hospital bed like Brangle, in a prison like Paul, or anywhere else. God can and will use your circumstances to accomplish his purposes. He is the only one who can produce fruit out of an apparent disaster. And perhaps there's no greater example of this truth than the story of Job. In all of ancient Near Eastern literature, Job stands as one of the greatest pieces of poetical literature ever written. And it's perhaps the most revealing book in all of Scripture about how you and I are to deal with suffering in our day-to-day lives. We see this even in just the first five verses, which are intended to reveal to us Job's character. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now we see from this very first section that Job was a man who was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. He was a holy man. He did everything he could to live righteously in the eyes of God. And more than that, he was a true spiritual leader in his home, consecrating his children, offering burnt offerings on their behalf, because it says Job did this because he thought, you know, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Now that's interesting to me, because not only is he making sure that they obey God in their actions, but he goes beyond that. He's concerned about the state of their hearts. Have they turned their hearts away from God in any way? Is there any duplicity or double-heartedness in them? And so he intercedes for them. It'd be one thing if he did that for himself, but the very fact that he's doing this for his children shows that Job has this amazing heart that is oriented towards that curved out love that we've been talking about. He cares about their relationship with God. And so just in the first paragraph, we see that this is a man who has it together spiritually. He loves God. He's living righteously in the world. And God has blessed him with wealth and favor. And even if you knew nothing else about Job, except for the simple fact that he was wealthy and had seven sons, seven being the sign of perfection or completion in the Bible, you would say that here is a man in deep favor with God. Now, what this tells us is that if there is suffering in our lives, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is judging us or that he's angry with us. You know, I've pastored people who have thought that, but it's not true. What it does mean is that you live in a fallen world, and that because we live in a fallen world, things are going to be difficult. But the three truths that we can cling to are these. First, there is purpose in our suffering. And so we need to ask God what he is trying to do in and through us during those times when we suffer. And secondly, God is with us during those times of suffering. He bears them with us. And third, suffering will pass. For those who cling to God, it is but a blip on the screen of eternity. And so this week, encourage yourself with those three truths. Seek God's purposes in your suffering. Rely on his presence. And look forward to the day when, as Revelation 21:4 says, God will wipe away every tear. Let's rely on him this week. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.